Ladies and gentlemen, here we are with our little trade deadline reaction. Now, I say little, this episode may become one of my longest because, well, it was one heck of, well, if we see the trade deadline as a day, if we see the trade deadline as the week going before that, it was one heck of a week. Honestly, the deals were made like four days. So it was one heck of a 4 days span. Now, I'm just going to talk about almost every single trade. So it may take some time. I'm literally doing this in order that it says on NBA.com. So chronological order, not necessarily biggest to smallest. That's not what I'm trying to say here. So, but what my point is, some trades may be 30 seconds, other may be 20 minutes, but I'm going for it, and here we go. So, the first, well, major deal, of course, was the Clippers-Portland trade, which I don't know if I... Look, I'll put it very simple, right? Norman Powell to the Clippers, huge W for the Clippers. They get more win shooting. It's incredible, especially when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard get back. Perfect deal. Robert Covington also got thrown in there. He hasn't been good. He is just there now. Might get some minutes, might not. Who cares? Actually, it's Rocco. Now, Portland Trailblazers. What on earth... That's just what I'm saying. What on earth? But, I can see why you did it though. I can see why you did it, right? More cap space and stuff like that, right? But you gave away Keon Johnson. Sorry. You received Keon Johnson, Justice Winslow, and Eric Bledsoe. Oh, and a little pick. But, it's a bad trade. In a sense that, of course, this is penny on a dollar for the Clippers. This is a worthless package, kind of. I mean, Justice Winslow hardly played this season, and honestly, it feels like he played just because of the injuries and the health and safety protocols, and Eric Bledsoe isn't Eric Bledsoe. Like, you know, he was okay when he was the partner for the Bucks, then he wasn't good, really, really good, or he wasn't as good for the Pelicans, and he's gotten even worse for the Clippers. Now, what is he gonna bring to the Portland Trailblazers? Hardly anything. But they do have cap space. They do have cap space, especially with the trades that happened after this. So I get it, but let's be honest, right? This free agency class isn't. It has some big free agents like Kyrie Irving and Zach LaVine. I think also Bradley Beal. But most of those players are just going to resign, because why would Zach LaVine leave the Bulls now that they're finally building a real team with DeMar, right? Why would Kyrie leave, like, Brooklyn? Well, unless he wants to play all his games and he still has to be vaccinated to play home games next season. So who knows? That may be a reason. Actually, who knows? But I don't actually know what the... Portland is in Maine, right? I'm not from the States, so I don't know. But I don't know what the rules are in Portland. So he might still not be playing. But why would you sign another point guard? Then you would move Dame or Kyrie to the shooting guard. It's possible, but you have a small backboard. Small backcourt, not backboard. But they have been doing that for years. Did it work? They made a run to the conference finals, right? Now, of course, Kyrie Irving ain't CJ, but still. Like, if they can't do anything with this cap space, Dame has to go. I'm sorry, but, like, Dame, you gave this team 11 years, right? I think it's 11 years of your career. You gave them your prime, didn't accomplish shit. So... Well, I shouldn't have said that. They didn't accomplish anything. Not that he hasn't... And we can't say that he didn't do his best, right? Because he was a beast. And he still is a beast when he gets back from his injury. So... And he gave it his best. And the... like, you know, the Portland Trailblazers, they did try, but if they can't sign anybody, it's over, man. And nobody will blame Dame. And honestly, I won't even blame the front office of the Trailblazers. So, yeah, they just have to sign him, somebody, and that's good enough. Like, really, a secondary star. Some other trades. Yes. So, Caris LeVert for Ricky Rubio. Look, man, for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's a perfect deal. For the Pacers, I mean, look, I can't remember because it was already like the 7th. If Caris LeVert asked for a trade, I think he did, right? He wanted to play for a better team. So then you did justice by him, and honestly, getting back Ricky Rubio is an okay player. I don't know if he's gonna play because when Malcolm Brogdon comes back from his injury. Or is... What am I saying? I don't think he's even injured. I don't know what the heck I'm even saying right now. But my point is, when Ricky Rubio comes back from his injury, that's what I know for sure, that he's injured. I don't know how good he is, but he can be a rotational piece for sure, or you can let him walk. I should look into contracts and stuff before I start recording. I really, really should, but alright. I don't know what his contract is. I don't think he can walk this free agency, so you cannot, but you can still trade him again, or you can have him. It's an okay deal, but of course the Cavs win this. You know, now I kind of want to know. So let me quickly Google it. Rubio contract. There we go. So, he signed for 3 years with an average salary of $17 million a year. He's a free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2022. So he actually can walk. So let him walk. I think that would be a good ID. You have more cap space, might be able to sign somebody. So, now we get to a pretty confusing thing, honestly. Yeah, man, this blew my mind, this trade here. I mean, the main pieces are Sabonis and Tyrese Halliburton. The Kings also received Justin Holiday and Jeremy Lamb and a pick. And the Pacers also have Buddy Hield and Tristan Thompson now. So, let's see. I'm not saying Sabonis isn't a good player, because the first game he played, which was against the T-Wolves, if I remember correctly, he did pretty good, right? And I'm not saying he's a bad player, because he's been in also conversations for multiple years. He has been a two-time All-Star. He's only 25. But I don't know if this is peak or he's gonna peak a little bit more, but it's not gonna be much more than this. Which is still good, right? But I don't know. Looking at it from Kings' perspective, look, for the Pacers, it's good that they finally entered rebuild mode, because they said, we are going to rebuild, and then they didn't rebuild, and now they're actually rebuilding by trading Caris LeVert and the Montrezl Sabonis. Of course, how could I be so stupid? I said Caris LeVert asked out. I actually have no proof of whether he did that or not, because I don't know, but I actually just forgot. That's how stupid I can be. I can be sometimes. See, it's even worse. But that, of course, Caris LeVert was one of the pieces they were going to trade away if they were going to rebuild, and they finally did. So my apologies for being so weirdly stupid today, but I'm gonna make it better. I promise. I will. So, back to the Sabonis Tyrese Halliburton trade, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. The Pacers get Tyrese Halliburton, which honestly isn't bad. It really, really isn't. For the Kings' perspective, it may actually be. Because, like, again, DeMontis Sabonis, good player, really. And he's a good player for the Kings, right? But shouldn't you have kept Halliburton and maybe gave up De'Aaron Fox? Because De'Aaron hasn't been having, I hope that's correct English, his best season. And Tyrese, and well, De'Aaron is on the first year of his maximum contract, and Tyrese is on his second year of his rookie contract, so you'd also have more cap space. I don't know. And honestly, you just ask the Pacers some different players, and the deal would still make out, would still be correct. Especially, I mean, the Kings had to throw in Buddy Hield, who has a pretty big contract, right? Now he would probably also would have been traded if they threw in De'Aaron, but still. Because if you looked at it differently, Tyrese is more of the pick and roll ball handler than De'Aaron is. He, like, we can discuss it all night, who is better and who isn't, but it is a fact that Tyrese likes the pick and roll more than De'Aaron, or at least is better at it. And then with Sam Kerr, who can also easily be a pick and roll threat, as Sabonis, wouldn't you like the ball handler like Tyrese? The handles of De'Aaron Fox are also good, but what the ball handler for the pick and roll, right? So that's one way to look at it, and the cap space of the contract, and of course that Tyrese is still gonna develop, and I think he's a very nice player and he might actually become better than De'Aaron Fox. I think we're already at the point that they're like kinda equal if you look at the stats. Because like Tyrese, he dropped like something in the 30s somewhere a week before he got traded. And I don't know if it was that game or another game, but in a post-game interview, he said that he wanted to give it all to Sacramento Kings or something like that, and that it felt like a family. No, just as Winslow said, the Clippers felt like a family, and then only a week later or something, he got his ass out of there. But, you know, that's apparently how things go. But Tyrese Halliburton also said something in that nature. I don't have the exact words with me, but something like that. And, yeah. So, it's just that, like, just as Winslow said, it felt like a family, and Tyrese Halliburton said something in the area of, I want to give it all to the Kings, and then they get it all, so, then they get traded. So, if you don't want to get traded from a certain team, don't say that you like it, you won't get traded, apparently. That's how it works. I also saw a quote from Tyrese Halliburton. I'm looking for it. I think I saved it somewhere, but I can't find it, which is unfortunate. I'm gonna have to. It's something that he said about the. In the post-game thing, in the post, or like in an interview where he was already with the Pacers, and he said like, here on Wikipedia, it still says that he's a point guard for the Sacramento Kings. Get updated, for Christ's sake. Now, what I'm looking for right now is, oh no, right? So in the Dutch version, which is what I get, it's still for the Sacramento Kings. It's updated for the American version. So, I mean, look at me. I would like to find his quote. Oh, here we go. This is a tweet from him or something, right? Sacramento, I love y'all. can't put all my feelings into words yet, but know I'm forever grateful and appreciate of each and every one of you. That's what he tweeted, right? When he got traded. Now I'm gonna... He also said... Something like... Oh yeah, he said, this is the quote that he said in a post-game interview. I have it, Bleacher Report, Twitter, finally have it, here we go. I refuse to let the culture of what the teams have been in the past take over. I'm gonna help fix this. Tyrese Haliburton 2 weeks ago. And then he got his ass out of there. It's pretty weird. I mean, I know. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Also, Bleacher Report. Thank you, Bleacher Report. I love you. It's not sponsored, but Bleacher Report, ESPN. Couple of good websites. Now, here we are. Right. The quote is, I put a lot of the trust in Sacramento, and they just got rid of me. And that is a fact, right? Because they did. They did get rid of him. He is an amazing player. They just got rid of him. Which may not have been a good move. The rest for the team, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, not too much of an influence. Buddy Hield for the Blazers might actually still be nice. Some extra 3-point shooting. A backup center and Tristan Thompson, also fine. But, no, actually, long-term, if you look long-term and we don't think about injuries, because that's always something very stupid that can always happen, right? I think Tyrese is going to get better than Haliburton and Fox, the way it's going right now. In the present, and the Kings got better and the Pacers got worse, but sometimes you also have to look in the future and what's the ceiling for the Kings, because the teams they're competing with for the play-in also traded. Also did some trades, right? So the ceiling for Sacramento Kings is like 10th seed, 9th seed. And then in the front office, they're going to be high-fiving themselves. That's not good enough. And that's not worth giving up Tyrese Haliburton. But alright, my opinion, let's move on. CJ McCollum getting traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. Honestly, it had to happen. At a certain point, not that Portland received a lot, especially because they traded most of it away already. Yeah, actually, they received Didi Luzada, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Josh Hart, and Tomas Satoransky, and a pick, right? That's honestly not good of a package, first of all. Nikhil Alexander-Walker can be very nice, might get better, you know. Josh Hart, he's okay, he got some rebounding, he's like the best rebounding guard ever. Also got a little bit of defense, and Tomas Satoransky is just a big body guard. So, but then if we look at what the Trailblazers give up, it's CJ McCollum, which had to happen, of course, but why would you give up Larry Nance? I mean, they can miss Tony Snell, but, and they can miss Larry Nance. I'm not saying he should have been untouchable, but why would you give him up in this trade? I mean, I guess that you have to make the salaries match, but this ain't the way to do it, because you traded away too much for this package, honestly. Not that the Trailblazers had much of leverage, that's absolutely true, but it still isn't a good package. My opinion, let's move on. They waived Cody Zeller the next day. Not that he has been terrifically good, but I don't know who's their backup, who will be their backup center. They have Nurkic, but who will be their backup? I should take a look at the roster now, because I actually don't know who will be their backup. Then we have a three-teamer. So Utah Jazz received one of the Hernan Gomez brothers, the one that played for the Spurs, Nikhil Alexander Walker, and the Spurs got Thomas Satoransky and a pick, and then the Trailblazers got a pick, Joe Ingles, who was injured, and Huge, right? I don't know how to pronounce. I think it's just Huge, but right. Good deal? Hell no. I don't really get it. I don't think I'm not saying that Joe Ingles is actually an upgrade from Nikhil Alexander Walker, and Thomas Satoransky wasn't going to get much minutes anyways. But I don't know if I would have made the deal, but it also helps the cap space a little bit. So I get it. It's not bad of a deal. Is it really good? No, but it's okay. And the Jazz, they get Nikhil Alexander Walker, who they can develop, and he gets some minutes. Hernan Gomez, I don't know if he's going to get minutes, but he is a rotation. He is a rotational player if they need him to, right? So, yeah, it's okay for all sides. Also, the Spurs, they get a pick and Thomas Satoransky, I guess. So, it's alright. He can play. They can let him run some minutes if they want to. Here, this is a trade I'm actually excited about. Crazy Apollo is of the Heat, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it time? Like, every Heat fan in existence was like, Crazy, please just get off the team. Get off the team. Now, I'm not wishing anybody, you know, to be unemployed, because that's practically what he is now since he got waived. But just for the Heat, it's good, because they get a little bit more cap space. Not that his contract made a difference, but it's there. And honestly, giving up a second-round pick that's protected to get him off the roster, oh no, that's worth it. Not giving up, getting the pick, that's worth it. Yeah, sorry, my bad. So, yeah. Then we have Ekron Morgan waived, blah blah blah. They waived PJ Dozier. Actually, this is something I don't get. They waived. Wait a minute, I'm missing something here, right? I must be missing something here. Because how on earth can they waive him if they just traded him? Wait. Because later that day, oh no, this is not necessarily in chronological order. Sorry, my bad. Right, PJ Dozier got waived. He was traded from the Celtics to the Magic, and also with Ball Ball and the second round pick for the Celtics. Right, so, Drew Eubanks got traded to the Raptors, got waived, blah blah blah. The Spurs, they get another pick, and they will also get another one with a trade for Dragic. I actually like this deal for both teams, because for the Boston Celtics, it's nice to have a dude like Derrick Wright. He can score the basket. He has some okay defense, and yeah, Josh Richardson can also shoot the basket. He can shoot better than Derrick Wright, because Derrick Wright hasn't been very very efficient this season. He has been, and honestly, it doesn't really matter for the Spurs. Romeo Langford doesn't make a difference. The Spurs get a pick, and the Boston Celtics improve a little bit, right? So, for both teams, it's a fine deal. Now, this is another deal that I didn't see coming. I didn't hear rumors about. I mean, I heard rumors about the Kings getting more and more involved, but I didn't necessarily hear rumors about Bagley going to the Pistons. But it happened. And I guess I'll take it in a four team trade, right? So Marvin Bagley ran to the Pistons, which is good, because he might still have some potential left, and there he can just run minutes. I think his contract ends at the end of the season, so the Pistons either resign him or they let him walk. But they were like, yeah, we'll take a stab at it to see what we can get for this season and perhaps for later on as well. And honestly, they only gave up a pick, and I think it is a second. I can't see that here, but I think it was a second. And Josh Jackson. Deal. No-brainer. So, easy, right? Oh, and also Trey Lyles. Is it still a no-brainer? No, not necessarily. Is it still a good deal, Hat? Yeah. So, then the Sacramento Kings, they received the pick from the Pistons, Trey Lyles, and Josh Jackson, and Dante DiVincenzo. Now, after the Tyrese Haliburton trade, I was like, where on earth are you getting that shooters from? Because you traded away Tyrese Haliburton and Buddy Hield. Where will it be coming from? Well, Dante DiVincenzo, apparently, and Trey Lyles, who can also shoot, and Josh Jackson, right? Like, Josh Jackson, he is a okay defender, and he has some good games, and then he also has some bad games, but let's forget about that. Right, so I think even though they gave up Marvin Bagley, I think the Kings actually improved. So yeah, then we take a look at the Bucks. They had troubles with their center depth. They received two picks actually, one from Sacramento Kings, one from the Pistons, two second rounders if I'm not mistaken, and Serge Ibaka. Now Serge Ibaka ain't the OKC Serge Ibaka that got them, that helped on the finals run. Hell no. But he's still good, and he can have some good games. He can also have bad games, but he isn't very consistent. But as a backup center, or like to improve your center depth, that's good for the Bucks, because with Brook Lopez being out, they had troubles with their center depth. This helps, and they get two second rounders. They did give up Dante, but I don't know if that really matters, because Dante hasn't been really playing well this season, and they didn't really play him he didn't play that many minutes, and perhaps he actually wanted out. I don't think he requested it, but it might be good for his career to play more minutes, have the rock more in his hands and shoot more, right? And yeah, it's a good improvement for the Bucks. The Clippers, they get Rodney Hood and Semi. I'm not even gonna say anything. Now we're gonna get to the most confusing trade ever. No, not ever, but this is confusing and out of the blue. Kristaps Porzingis got traded to the Wizards, and somehow the Wizards also got a pick. That's something the Dallas front office has to explain to me. How on earth did you get convinced by the Wizards to give up a pick? You should be getting a pick, but fine. So that package for two dudes that hasn't been playing well this season at all. Now Kristaps Porzingis is a guy that like they gave up, the Mavericks gave up quite some to get it, right? To build around Luka. And he has some stretches that you are like, yo, he really looks like a unicorn. And then he's injured again. So, I mean, I guess that the Mavericks organization was just tired of him constantly being injured and stuff like that, right? And that they just called every GM's phone, like, what do you want to give me for Kristaps Porzingis? And that every GM in the league was like, nothing, because we don't know if he can play. So, because he's because he's injured so often. And then they get to the Wizards. The Wizards are like, we'll give you two bad dudes if you give us the pick. This is such a confusing trade for both sides, because the Mavericks don't improve. Well, the Wizards do. The Mavericks don't, but the Wizards didn't necessarily need to do this. It's just weird. It's just weird just looking at this. Like, you know, the Wizards then traded Montrezl Harrell because they still have Daniel Gafford and Thomas Bryant, so you don't need the fourth center. So they improve, but it was unnecessary. I mean, they are in a free fall, and they were like the first seed in the first somewhere in the first couple of weeks of the season, and now they are not doing well at all. But was this necessary? No. And especially not for the Mavericks, because, I mean, I get that you want to get rid of Porzingis eventually, but this isn't the right package. Because you get a dude that is paid millions to shoot,
can't shoot. We all know I'm talking about
Davis Bertans. He has an overpaid contract just to shoot threes. He shoots them, he doesn't hit them. And even if, like, he hasn't played minutes for the Wizards when they are absolutely losing games, right? Then, still then, he doesn't play minutes. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie isn't having a good season. Might get better in Dallas, who knows? But that's also partially, of course, because he got back from injury. I just hope that he's good next year, and then we might see some more logic in this trade, but I can't really see it. I'm just gonna move on. Mavericks, I don't know why you, I mean, I guess I know why you did it, but I don't necessarily agree with it. Fine, move on. To the blockbuster of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, it happened. Benjamin Simmons, the Aussie, got traded for James Harden, the beard. And it is good for both teams, right? Because I forgot the name, the general manager of the 76ers. But he was like, no, I'm not trading yet. I'm not trading Ben Simmons yet because we're waiting on our dude. We want to get the right deal. And they received packages like Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield, which are now traded to Domantas Sabonis. And then, honestly, Ben Simmons is better, but all right. And no, not necessarily. Domantas Sabonis is better for a team like the Kings, but fine. So, 76ers, they get their secondary / primary star. The Joel Embiid is better. They get their secondary star and Paul Millsap. Not that they need Paul Millsap. Did they give up a lot? Perhaps even a bit too much. They gave up 2 picks, right? Andre Drummond and Seth Curry. Is it a little bit too much? Yes. Is it dramatically too much? Hell no. It's still within reasonable boundaries. And I can see why they did it. Because, like, you know, you get James Harden. So, it's a massive improvement for the 76ers. James Harden wanted out of Brooklyn for reasons I understand, but I'm not going to get into. He gets out of there, which they did right by him, by the Brooklyn Nets. But it's just weird to think that, like, 13 months ago, it was a real blockbuster. I just stood up. I had to go to school that morning. And my morning routine when I get downstairs is to pick up my phone and look at the NBA app and look at the games from that night, because I most of the time can't really watch it. So I had to go to school and I see, like, this report of James Harden getting traded. I mean, I heard the rumors, but when it actually happened, I was shocked. I was like, yo, that's a wrap, and we have our new champion, and then we, of course, we had injuries, and yeah, we all know how it ended. But it's just crazy that 13 months later, James Harden is already on a new team. But I don't know how they are going to do it. Now, honestly, they have time, because James Harden just extended his contract, but Joel Embiid is a bit different than all the other centers James Harden has played with, because this is a world-class center, and he isn't like the virtual lob threat like Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan, I guess. But what's the other center? The vertical lob threat. I don't really. Oh shit! That was also not the plan. Hold on. In moments like this, you realize this isn't a professional podcast, but just a hobby. Now, I don't know how they are going to do it. It's Joel Embiid is not really a pick and roll guy. It's more like short rolls and like mid-range jump shots, right? And can Embiid get up and catch a lob? Yeah, but it isn't the same. And I just don't know how they are going to do it. but I'm not the coach. I don't have to think that through. They have time to do it. I trust it. Let's go for it. Now, for the Brooklyn Nets, it's a good deal, actually. They get 2 first-round picks, despite the fact that they didn't have leverage. Because James Harden wanted out, they still have their picks. I mean, I guess. And Seth Curry, who is a great three-point shooter, and now they have a team full of shooters, and Ben Simmons. And Andre Drummond, who is like one of the best backup centers in the league. I know I have an episode of me kind of shaming him when he got signed to the Lakers in the buyout market. I know that. I do. And I still stand by my statement of that, even though he has been better this season, in my opinion. I haven't looked at percentages, but when I looked at him play, he looks better, right? And his shot IQ is better. And even when he was like that, when he signed to the Lakers, he was still like one of the best backup centers in the league, even though he then started for the Pistons. But, you know, he just is. He's one of the best backup centers in the league. So you get that. And then, of course, you have Ben Simmons, who will be your defensive anchor, because the Brooklyn Nets are a great team, but their defense hasn't been coming together this season, at least. And, well, last season as well, a little bit, but this season it was worse. So, how do you do it? Well, the fact is, you have Ben Simmons as your defensive anchor, and this is actually like a perfect role for Ben Simmons, right? To just be the third player, not to, like, he doesn't have to be clutch necessarily, unless KD is injured and Kyrie fouled out or whatever. But, you know, and the only thing that's expected from him is to put it simply then, is to play defense, grab some rebounds, go to the other side of the court, find shooters, or go to the basket and get a layup or something, right? This is the perfect team for the way Ben Simmons plays. If he gets a rebound, he goes up court, he is looking for the fast break. He doesn't necessarily want to score himself, but if he has shooters around him, like Steph Curry, Joe Harris, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, so many shooters, it's perfect. It's perfect. Of course, James Harden is better, but it's actually a pretty good deal for both sides. There is more you can say to this, but I'm gonna keep it short since this episode is already 37 minutes long. Yay! If you're still here, I want to give you a small applause. You're welcome. Now, the next phrase I'm gonna get over pretty fast. Daniel Tice back in Boston for Anna's freedom. Dennis Schroeder and Bruno Fernando. I think to know that Freedom got bought out, and the same goes for Bruno Fernando, if I'm not mistaken. I might be mistaken. I don't actually know for sure. But I think he did. Let me actually quickly Google it. So, Anas Freedom, which is kind of a weird, like, I still don't understand why he changed his name, but I guess that he can do whatever he wants. Did he get bought out? Like, did he get waived by the Houston Rockets or not? This CBS Sports here from 2 days ago says that Anas Freedom is waived by Houston Rockets, and Adrian Wojnarowski, of course, we all know him, ESPN, right? The Rockets are waving Enes Freedom. So, I just can't see it on the NBA side yet, but apparently he has been waived. And same should go for Bruno Fernando. And I think they should do it for Dennis Schroeder as well. let the young guys play, man. Like let them develop. You're a rebuilding team. You don't want to win games. Besides, it's Dennis Schroeder really gonna help you games. Gonna help you win games. I just forgot the word win. Just like either you just put him on the bench and you don't let him play for half a season, or you waive him. Your choice. But I would buy him out. Daniel Craig to Phoenix, fine. He's a good player for Phoenix. Blah blah blah. Pacers, they get a pick, and Jalen Smith. He is the pick and roll guy for Tyrese Haliburton, for example. If Tyrese is running with the second unit, because I don't think they're gonna start Jalen Smith, but he is a good addition. He's a good role player. And Torrey Craig is a good addition for the Suns, so it's just good. Then of course we have Montrezl Harrell just getting dumped off to the Hornets for practically almost nothing. So for A. Smith, Fallencave Jr. and some sort of pick against draft consideration. So that's some sort of pick. I don't know which pick. Good pickup for the Hornets. They needed improvement on the center position. Would a more defensive-minded center be better? Yes. Was that necessarily available? I don't think so. Is this then a good deal for them? Yes. For the Wizards as well, because like four centers on your roster, that just doesn't work. And they got a little bit. So, just an holiday for cash. Not going to say anything. Thaddeus Young to the Raptors for Goran Dragic, and also Drew Eubanks to the Raptors, and a pick for the Spurs and a pick for the Raptors, right? So my point is, like, Thaddeus Young is a good player to have, even though they already have that many like big wings, like small forwards, power forwards, right? We all know this, but that might be that still not necessarily a bad thing to have, like, because you have Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, and just around them, you have these big bodies who just play defense. I don't necessarily see a problem in that. Drew Eubanks already got waived, and I've heard reports that the Spurs will do the same for Goran Dragic, right? But it's good for the Spurs, you know, just get an extra pick again. That's good, right? So, yeah, that is actually all I have to say. It was a pretty weird ending, just like that. I thought there were more trades to come, but apparently there weren't. We are 42 minutes in. Again, if you're still here, thank you so much. It's just me talking. So apparently you like my voice. Thank you. I want to remind you to A, follow my Twitter. B, follow my Instagram. C, follow my Facebook. And D, I also now have a email address for inquiries, or like if you want to ask me questions, or you have ideas that I should, or my opinion about certain stuff, just send me an email, but please always be polite. My email address is in the bio of the podcast, but I'll also say it's just nbapeculiarities@gmail.com. Not too complicated, but if you want to verify, it's always in the bio. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please tune in to the next episode and follow my socials. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.